I very much hope so. There's certainly a huge amount of pressure on the world leaders from people across the globe to make a really lasting and binding commitment this time. And I really hope and pray that's what will come to fruition this time.
And what role do you see churches as having in this conversation?
Well, I think there's a number of roles that churches have. First of all, there's an awareness that churches are very organized. They have a local presence all over the world, and as such, they can very quickly and easily respond to the concerns of their members and make that known then up the chain to governments. But also, I think there's a question that they can raise that this is very much a moral issue, that looking after the planet and making sure that the poorest in the world are looked after is absolutely a moral issue. And I think that's beginning to sink in with those world leaders at the moment.
But the difficulty with it being a moral issue is that some of the things that we do that are damaging to the environment, they don't really seem like they're such terrible things. You know, like if you decide to take the car rather than a cycle, you don't automatically get that feedback of this is damaging others or this is damaging the planet.
No, you don't. And that is part of what makes climate change a difficult issue, I suppose, for people to grasp on an everyday level, because you can't immediately see the damage that all of us are doing in our very small way. But of course, all the very small ways add up to a much larger damage to the environment. So I suppose it's a question of the churches and others constantly raising people's consciousness and saying, reminding them that, you know, every day we make small choices, like you say, maybe taking public transport instead of a car or cycling instead of a car, maybe looking for locally produced food when we go to the supermarket. All those little choices add up to making a real difference.
And yet you have people like our own Taoiseach and the Kenny arguing that Ireland should get special dispensation, especially in the area of agriculture, particularly beef and dairy farming.
Yes, and I mean, I live in a very rural part of the country here on the Carlow-Wicklow border. And, you know, the agriculture is a hugely important part of the industry and the jobs here in this area. And I think that to some extent the government do have an argument in that it's, you know, Ireland's production of beef and dairy is very low carbon compared to the rest of the world because we feed our animals on grass rather than on grain. But at the same time, we can't keep looking for special exemptions for everything. And, you know, if we look for one for agriculture, the Germans will look for an exemption for their car industry and so forth. So we all have to make it a conscious choice, I suppose, about what direction we want the country to head in. And I think there is a very strong argument that the government's target to increase dairy production and beef production is ultimately in short-sighted in the long term, because in the end the world cannot afford to have people eating too much beef and other animal products. We need to be encouraging people to eat meat less often in the long term.
And again, it's those type of things that are very difficult, I think, for people to absorb, because they're so part of our culture. They're so ingrained in who we are and what we do.
Yes, they are. There's no doubt, going right back into history, Ireland was always a place for cattle production and cattle growth, and it is very much part of our psyche. And I suppose, again, that's where, once again, we have to, it's the sort of constant raising of consciousness and reminding people that what they do and what they choose actually does matter.
And a lot of people would look at the churches and say, well, you know, they have been fairly supportive, if you like, of planetary destruction, in a sense, or that there's that idea that, you know, the planet is ours in a way, that there's that hierarchy of understanding that humans are at the top and everybody else is sort of there to serve us in a way.
Yes, and I mean, I think that, you know, a sort of misinterpretation of parts of Genesis and other scriptures have fed into that, there's no doubt. But I think there's definitely a movement in the last 30 years or so to see a much more balanced view in which Christianity, in which we're asked to be people who see ourselves as part of God's creation, and that we've a responsibility to look after it and to not add it to its destruction.
And of course, you're part of Eco Congregations, and has that been successful? I mean, I know you have congregations get awarded, you know, they'll become an Eco Congregation if they fit certain, if they tick certain boxes, but how many people have got on board, or how successful has it been?
Well, I would say it's still slow. I mean, let's be frank here, it's still, you know, I suppose, out of all the denominations, all five denominations involved in Eco Congregation, we probably only have maybe three or four a year who are becoming new Eco Congregations. So it's still going fairly slowly, but I'm afraid it's still not at the top of people's agendas. But I suppose we just keep plugging away and just keep doing our best to remind people of the issues.
And in your own diocese and in your own everyday life, what are the things that you focus on and that you think are the most important?
I think from a sort of diocese and parish point of view, we would need to look at, we do look at things like energy use in the churches. Is it a good idea to be heating up our churches for just a few hours a week? And we often have buildings that are frankly cold, and we need to be looking at those kind of issues. We also need to be looking at how much paper and other resources we use within parishes. And also, and this isn't always easy in rural areas, but in urban areas, perhaps encouraging people, you know, when they come to church or they're in their everyday lives, to walk more, cycle more, and to use their cars less.
Is it going to be, though, a new morality? I mean, people are almost moving away from that idea of being preached at or being told what to do. I mean, is it going to antagonize people?
I hope not. Yes, I mean, you're right. People don't like being preached at or told what to do. Nevertheless, I think it's less a question of being preached at and more a question of everybody working together to address this issue that really is going to be a very important one, perhaps arguably the most important one for the world. And it's less a question of people from the top preaching down at people, and more a question of everybody working together from the bottom up.
And that's very much the lead that Obama is taking. Do you think having dynamic leaders like himself taking such a strong position that's going to help influence things?
I hope it will. While leadership from the top is very welcome and it does set a marker and set the tone, I do think ultimately it's about what happens in local communities and local parishes. But I think the tone is probably set from the top.
And if people want to get involved, it's for all churches, really, isn't it? It's across the board. But how people go about deciding to become an Eco Congregation, and what will be the steps towards becoming one?
Oh, yes. It is absolutely for all denominations. I mean, Eco Congregation, its representatives come from the five main churches, that is the Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, Methodist, Presbyterian, and the Society of Friends, or Quakers. But obviously there are other denominations, like the Lutherans, involved as well. And so it is for everybody. The best and simplest way to get going on it is to look at our website, ecocongregationireland.com. And there you can see the different resources that we have and how to begin the process. And usually the first step in the process is for a parish or a diocese or a congregation to do an audit of what they're doing at the moment and how that might be improved. But there's a whole set of guidelines there on the website which makes it very clear, and it's simple steps. And once you've been doing that kind of thing for a couple of years, you're eligible to apply for an Eco Congregation Award.